continuing the description of how the four Kumaras got their, or came to visit Vaikuntha and what they saw. They saw the opulence of the place. The Lord has come in, on foot with the goddess of fortune to come pacify the sages. Tadra tire drishtam devam anuvar nayanti panchabhi tam twa gatamiti. The Lord, as they saw him there, is described in five verses. Tam tu agatamiti. The verse beginning, tam tu agatam. I'm going to read that verse again. Let me jump back to the beginning of the file. Tam tu agatam prativitao paikam sopumbis. Te chakshadaksha vishayam sasmabhari sasva swasamadhi bhagyam hamsa shriyor vyajanayo shivavayu lola shubrata patra shashite sharashi karambum. The sages then saw the personality of Godhead with their own eyes, as the success of their meditation. He came forward, accompanied by his own associates, bearing all paraphernalia, such as an umbrella and a chamara fan. The white bunches of hair moved very gently, like two swans, and due to their favorable breeze, the pearls, garlanding the umbrella also moved, like drops of nectar falling from the white full moon, or ice melting due to a gust of wind. Okay, Sri Goswami says about this. Te sanakadayaha swasavadina bhajani bhagyam, which means bhajaniyam palam. Yet Brahma, tad im aksha vishayam. The words that are in the verse are te svasamadina bhagyam aksha vishayam. Well, they, which is the sages headed by Sanaka, saw, that verb is not there, but I'm supplying it. There, Sri Goswami doesn't give the verb. That's somewhere else in the verse, and he's not paraphrasing the whole verse in one sentence. So he's leaving the verb out. I'm giving it to you. Saw. Their great fortune, bhagyam, which means the worshipable fruit. Derived from their meditational trance. Okay, it's not just a worshipable fruit, it's the fruit of their trance. Okay. Namely, Brahman. That's Sridhar Swami is telling us. They're not worshipping a banana. It's Brahma. And they saw him as present before their eyes. Okay, and then an alternative reading. Hold on a second. Okay, hold on a second. Doesn't want to scroll. 78.5. Eight. Okay, Yadva. Swasamadhi. Okay, another way of interpreting that same line. Yadva swasamadhi. Swasya hridi. Brahmakarena. Paratattvam. Spurtir. Bhagyam palarupam. Oh boy. Okay, not the fruit of their samadhi. But alternatively, you could say they saw him as the good fortune, the manifest fruit of their meditating on the appearance within their hearts of the Supreme Truth in the form of Brahman. Yato Pshavishayam Tadiya Swaprakasha Kata Shakti Sanskrita Nikila Dindriya Spuritatvena Sampati Vishvashtam Evam Bhuyamana. It's the fruit of their meditating, appearing in their hearts, the form of the Supreme Truth as Brahman, and they got that fruit because he was present before their eyes. Now, which means, now clearly experienced in a way that was perceivable by all their senses, which had been rendered fit by his energy of self-manifestation. Okay, what's the difference between those two interpretations? Okay, the first one is just to say they saw him in front of their eyes, and what they saw was the fruit of their trance. The second interpretation uses present before their eyes as the reason why it was the fruit of their meditation. There's a slight difference. It's not just saying that they saw it before their eyes, but using that fact as a reason why it's the fruit of their meditation. Because it's not just in their hearts. They were worshiping him in their hearts. They were, that was their meditation in their hearts. And now the fruit of all that meditation is that they see him externally with all their senses. That's the second reason. Okay. That's just the only difference is whether you just take akshavishayam to just be an extra adjective. They saw him and he happened to be right in front of their eyes. Or take that as the reason why what they saw was the fruit, was the bhagya, or the culmination of all their meditation. Got that? Idea is, they're meditating in the heart, but the whole purpose of it is to be able to see him fully with all their senses, externally. Yes?
Which meditations
do
you refer to here? Because
they
were Brahman body
before. Yeah, but they were meditating on Brahman.
But, so, but they saw this Vishnu.
Well, it says they saw him in the form of Brahman in their hearts. What Brahman looks like, it doesn't say, but they saw him in the form of Brahman Kari in them. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the first interpretation. Okay. Yeah, but no, that's the second interpretation. It's the fruit of their... They were meditating on the Paratattva. They saw there was a manifestation of the Paratattva in the form of Brahman in their hearts. Just a shiny light. Previously.
Okay.
And the fruit of all that meditating that they were doing before is Brahmavadis. Is now they see him in front of him.
Okay, so this meditation...
Well, it says right here, Brahmakarina.
Right, and then from this meditation, the fruit is that they saw Vishnu.
Well, they came to Vaikuntha and then they saw him.
Okay.
Are you taking Brahmaka in the form of Brahman? Or could you say that the Brahman they were meditating was Krishna? They learned from Sakashachana Bhagavatam.
So no, but it doesn't say that.
Saka Samadhi.
That's a akara, but it's not Krishna akara, it's a Brahma akara.
Okay.
So, I mean, Jivaswami intentionally didn't say Narayana akara, but Brahma akara to contrast it. Before they were just seeing, I don't know what they were seeing, some shiny light or something, but they were seeing Brahma before. It says Spurti, it was a manifestation in their hearts of something that was identified as Brahma. And this is different, now they're seeing Narayana in front of them. Yes.
But at the same time, the previous verses said that they were very anxious to receive the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, they must have some conception of the person born.
Well, they heard about him from Brahma before, from their father. And they had some samskara in their hearts. They're actually devotees, but they forgot about it. And stepping into Vaikuntha, you know, as they entered, they remembered it. And they became eager. I don't know if they were eager before they got to him. They were just, it just says Yajitraya, they went to Vaikuntha just on the whim. But when they got there, that eagerness was awakened to them. Okay, that was in the middle of the sentence, so let's continue. Okay, next sentence. Anena purvavat tasis shabdas parsha rupa rasa ganda gyanam sarvesham eva dharmanam satchidananda ganat matvam sanitam. Okay, this establishes the fact that they're seeing Narayan in person in front of them is the fruit of their Brahman meditation. That fact, that establishes the fact that as also was done previously, it was established previously, and now we're proving it. We proved it before with an argument, and now we're proving it with the testimony of the Bhagavatam, that all of his qualities, all of the Supreme Truth's qualities, named sound, touch, form, taste, and smell, those are the names of his qualities. They are all concentrated forms of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. They are not just, as the Mayavadis say, a downgraded, polluted, in duality form of Brahma when he appears as a personality of Godhead. That he's only Saguna Brahma and therefore not the real thing. No. The qualities of the personality of Godhead is what you can hear about. You can hear, touch, feel, see him, and smell him. Those qualities are the absolute truth, the Satchidananda, in its most concentrated form. It's the real thing. Because they were seeing something they called Brahman before, now they're seeing him in person, and that's the success of their impersonal meditation, is that now they see him personally, not the other way around. That they were practicing devotional service, and finally they graduated from that and got and came to their real intelligence and started worshiping the impersonal. That's not the sequence, it's the other way around. The impersonalists became devotees. And the devotee realization is superior. Tata nityam eva tata vida satato ditvara madhuri vaichit vyanubhava anubhava purvaka parama premananda sandohena sevamanais tasyat miyai purushayar. This goes on. Anita sevaupaikanana vastupi sevyamanam bhagavantam katanchit kvachit kadachit eva tadanim kenapi samadija bhagyodayena kevalam apashyam. That means, thus, somehow, somewhere, and at some time, that is to say, at that particular time, by some exaltation of the good fortune born from their meditation, they simply saw the Supreme Lord. That's, at this particular time, they got the final success of all their meditation. And what is it? To see Narayan. Iti tesham parama vidusham spihaspada tavasteshu teshu Sri Vaikuntha purusheshu kasya api bhagavan ananda shaktir velasamayatvam darshitam. This proves, there's more. They saw the Lord. What they simply saw the Supreme Lord, but what they saw was not monotonous. and was not without qualities. They saw the Lord attended constantly with various items suitable for his service, brought for that purpose by persons intimately connected with him in the abundant supreme ecstasy of pure love. Love based on their experience of such constantly increasing varieties of sweetness. Now what does that prove? This proves that the Supreme Lord's pleasure potency casts a special spell on these personalities of Vaikuntha, who were objects of admiration for those four sages, the best of learned men. So, the Lord has his servants. They're just fanning him and doing other menial services. But there, and the Kumara has noted, that these servants are full of the supreme ecstasy of pure love. They've been striving for Brahmananda, and these fan wavers are experiencing something much better than what they've been meditating for. So, therefore, the Kumaras are very impressed and feel great admiration for these servants who are just accompanying Narayan, doing service to him. Okay, I will read a couple of paragraphs here of commentary. These verses tell about the visual impression of the Supreme Lord that the Kumaras received. So it's not just our or the author's view of what Narayan looks like, but this is what, according to Sutta Goswami, this is how the Kumaras saw it from their point of view. Earlier on, they had been practicing impersonal meditation. But now their concentration in yoga became perfect by focusing on the beauty of the Lord. Their previous experience of samadhi had been only internal. But now they saw everything with their eyes and other senses. Can I get some water? The phrase used here is Aksha Vishayam, meaning the Lord Narayan became the object of their Aksha, a word which means eyes, but also sometimes it means senses in general. This less common use of the word is seen sometimes in Srimad Bhagavatam. Nipita marun manoksha vidya yoga yujo ridiyang munaya upasate tadarayo piyayu smaranad. From the prayers of the personified Vedas. Simply by constantly thinking of him, the enemies of the Lord attain the same supreme truth whom sages fixed in yoga worship by controlling their breath, mind, and senses. Marut is air, mana, mind, and aksha, senses. And Jiva Goswami was pointing out that they're experiencing him now with all their senses, not just their eyes. Text 46 of this Sandarbha presented evidence that the divine body of Sri Bhagavan is a transcendental reservoir of all auspicious qualities. Thus his different qualities, perceived by different senses, are all tangible manifestations of eternity, perfect knowledge, and pure bliss. So Jiva Goswami here said that it's proven now as it was proven before. So it was argued theoretically back in Anucheta 46 that there's all sorts of auspicious qualities in the Lord's body. Now we're getting an example of that. I'm sorry, you already had one there, I'm sorry. Now we're shown that from this description of the Kumaras seeing Narayan. Continuing, the Kumaras cannot say why at this time and place they received the favor of being allowed to see the Supreme Lord in person. This is causeless mercy, not analyzable in terms of cause and effect. Science tries to be useful by predicting when and where certain events will occur. But this experience of the four sages was above what can ever be understood by science or philosophy. They merely saw the Lord. nor the transaction was necessary. Just seeing him was enough to change them into pure devotees.
Okay.
The Lord of Vaikuntha has countless servants always busy in attending him. It is a great privilege, only given to very dedicated devotees, to be such a personal servant of God. The Kumaras observe that the residents of Vaikuntha are all controlled by the Lord's internal energy. That means that they're absolutely free. To be controlled by the Swarup Shakti means that you're impelled by love, by no external force. You're not forced. You feel it in the deep depths of your heart to do what you want to do, what you're going to do, and you want to do it. So that's freedom. This impressed the sages favorably, and they wanted to also become controlled in the same way. Okay, any questions?
I wonder, where did they get this very strong anxiety, desire to see the world? Because it seems like he appeared by his conversation, but he was exposed to their meditation today.
Well, let's go back to the beginning of the passage. Let me go back to the beginning of the Anuchin. Hello. Okay. I'm looking. Oh no, that's before that. It's in 77. I have to go back to the previous file. This is file 22. We need file 21. Not right there. Okay, hold on a second. I'm trying to see what Sutta Goswami said about that, when it said that they were feeling eager. Oh boy, it's not there either. Where does this narration start?
It starts in the file 22.
It does start in 22? I was at the top of 22. It's not 78.1? Here, 78.2, okay. No, but this just says that Narayan came to see them. But there's a previous description of how they entered Vaikuntha. It must be in the previous file. No? Okay, we'll have to go back to the Bhagavatam. Okay, what's the verse number of this passage?
315.
Okay, I'll start from 315, 2020 or something, and see what we get. Okay, here we go. Manasa, Brahma's, okay, it's the beginning of Brahma's narration, verse 12. Manasa means Sutta Yushmad Purvaja Sanaka Adayaha. Okay. The Sanaka and his brothers were wandering around the universe. One day, they went to Vaikuntha. It doesn't say anything there about their being very eager. They just happened to go to Vaikuntha. Okay, let's see what else it says. Description of Vaikuntha.
They went to Vaikuntha by their yoga mantra.
Yeah, yeah, but also it said elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, Yajurcheya, they were just wandering around. Now, here, after they saw, okay, they came to the gate and they had to quarrel with the gatekeepers.
So could it be that the Swarup Shakti moved these Kumas to Vaikuntha for the purpose of these pastimes?
Sure.
Because it says yoga maya.
No, certainly. But we're questioning, it's all controlled by Yogamaya that they came to Vaikuntha. But we're asking about their eagerness. Is the eagerness a cause of Narayan's responding to it? But when is the eagerness mentioned? Let's find it. I don't see it here.
No.
Okay, well, you must have picked up the eagerness somewhere. Where did you see it? Okay, then I don't know, because I don't see it in the passage. Any mention about them being eager? I think that's from somewhere else. Okay, it doesn't say here. So it's not given as a reason, it's not even mentioned, as far as I see, about them being eager to see Narayan. They just, what I'm reading here, I looked at the first 21 verses, it just says they were wandering around, they came to Vaikuntha, they came up to the door, they got into a fight, and then Narayan came to fix up the situation. Yes?
Maybe the mission was that his mission was that they were protecting people from all material contamination.
Yes.
And therefore they were able to go to a Buddha.
That's a different thing.
And maybe because of the influence of the Buddha, they caused this desire to see.
Yeah, but okay, but where's the mention of the desire? No. Even in Yoga Swami's comments. No mention here, okay. Yeah. You're remembering that from somewhere else.
But, they wanted to enter and then
they wanted to go, but they were wandering around. They happened to bump into the gate.
She mentioned that they wanted to see the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore he came up by foot.
Oh yeah, first, yeah.
In order to show them the lotus.
Yes, yes. That was just yesterday. That was Sridhar Swami. Let's find Sridhar Swami. Yeah, here it is, 78.6. Arya Namridyo. Now, the words are just, he came on his own feet, he who knows was very attractive to the Aryas. And then Sridhar Swami's interpretation is, that they had become angry at the gatekeepers because they wanted to see his feet and they weren't allowed to. Okay, so that is where it's meant. Sridhar Swami is telling us that they wanted to see his feet. Okay, but you know, Sridhar Swami telling him that Narayan is thinking that. Maybe the four Kumaras weren't really thinking it. He's just thinking that they're thinking that.
Maybe he's like Prabhupada Prahijanath and he took what was the present of their father.
Yeah, he gave him credit for being very eager. Maybe they weren't so eager before they actually saw him. Maybe. Okay, but that's all there is. It's just what Narayan was thinking. What Sridhar Swami says Narayan was thinking. That they wanted to see my feet. That's just his way of thinking. No, when he came, then they smelled it. When he came close, then they smelled
it. Because I was thinking maybe before then that created the eagerness to see the feet.
Yeah, but that only happened after he showed up.
Perhaps it was mentioned already, I'm not sure, but the whole point of them actually visiting Vaikuntha with their material bodies, was it discussed there?
It wasn't mentioned. Whether they were coming in material bodies or not.
Because, you know, here it says...
It says they were liberated, but it doesn't say they didn't have material... What did it say?
I remember in one of the previous lectures, this nine reasons of what it is, it was mentioned that the qualification for entering into a group is to be free from all material desires, to be...
Yeah, being free from material desires. But I think also you can only enter it by the spiritual energy. There's another one of the nine. So normally you can't enter Vaikuntha in a material body. Nobody can do it. Although Dvasa did it. So I think there's, especially this is not actually in Vaikuntha. Narayan's coming out to the gate to meet them. And they're not going to be there very long. Yeah, but normally, yet gadvana nivaritante, if you have to get into Vaikuntha, you don't have to leave again. But they were sent back to the material world. So it's not ordinary entering Vaikuntha. It's not really all the way in Vaikuntha, and they didn't fully enter. They didn't stay.
Then they enabled their senses to see.
Yeah, so... It looks like they didn't change their bodies. They came in their very subtle sage bodies. You know, they're from the place where those who never have children live. and they have almost spiritual bodies. So they, and also Durvasa, who was an incarnation of Lord Shiva, he managed to get in too for a group visit. Yes?
I'm sorry, this kind of reply that, so are they jivas that actually have another body? I mean, do they have in their complete spirit of, do the Pokemons have a different body? Are they all associated with the Lord?
You mean before or after?
Before or after, yeah. Either
well, before they were yogis, they were perfect yogis, and they were liberated, but it looks like they were on a platform that's called Jivan Mukti, Mukta, when you still have a material body. Their spiritual bodies are awakened within, they're aware of their spiritual body, but they're still dragging around material bodies.
That's not their, they're not eternally youthful as children, sages, they're just, they have another.
No, they're always 5 years, they never get older than 5 years old, even before that, they never got older than 5 years old.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
You know.
Eternally.
Yeah, well, as long as the universe exists, they don't get older than 5 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. In the book, Bhagavatamrita, in the beginning the section of Lilavata, it's mentioned that the Kumas, they're swamsha forms of Vishnu. Especially in the commentary by Levi Vibhushan says that they are svangsha expansions of Gaudiya Vishnu.
That means, no, svangsha in the sense of Vishnu Tattva?
That's what has to be understood from the conflict. I can give you the verse. It's
give me the verse.
It's 1-3. 2.
1-3-2.
Yeah.
Okay, 1-3-2. Hold on a second. Priya Bhagavatamrita. Volume 1, Chapter 1.
1-3-2.
Third chapter, second verse.
Yes.
Looking, okay. Beyond the Material World, Chapter 3. Verses 1-4.
So that's a section on the Lilavata.
Priya Bhagavatamrita?
Lagu
Bhagavatamrita. Okay. Hold on a second. Lagu. That's a little harder because I don't have it split up neatly into chapters, but let me look. Lagu. Now let's see if I can find 3-2. Let's try 5-12. Do you have the word Sanskrit text?
No.
Okay, then. This may be a little hard to find. But okay, close. Let me try file 12-10. Yeah, got it. Like, 1. Now it's chapter 4. Okay, let me go back. 1-7. Okay, let me try 5.6. Close. 3-2. Okay. This is a quote from the first canto.
It's a section on the Lilavata.
Yeah. Tatra Sri Chatuksana Sri Pratame Sa Eva Pratamam Deva Kaumadam Sargamashritaha Chichara Dushcharam Brahma Brahmacharya Makanditam. Among them, the Lilavatars, the four sanas, are mentioned in the first canto. First of all, in the beginning of creation, there were four unmarried sons of Brahma, the Kumaras, who, being situated in a vow of celibacy, underwent severe austerities for realization of the Absolute Truth. I think that's Prabhupada's translation. Now, literally, it says that he did this, that he performed the austerities in the form of the Kumaras.
So,
okay,
but
here I have from Baladeva Vibhushan, what you're saying is right here.
Swami's translation.
I'm giving you my translation.
Okay.
I think it says the same thing. Srila Baladeva Vibhushan notes that the numbering of these incarnations was marked. Okay, let's just know about something. Then Baladeva Vibhushan says The Saha, the he referred to in this verse from the first canto, is Gaurvadakshaya Vishnu, Sri Krishna's Swamsharupa. Taking the role of a sage, Brahma, Lord Gaurvadakshaya Vishnu masterminded the stage of creation known as the Kaumara after the four brothers, named after the four brothers who appeared at that time. So it says that Gaurvadakshaya Vishnu became a sage. Maybe that means he became the four Kumaras, but it doesn't mean that the four Kumaras are Swamshas. He's Swamsha, according to what I have here. Gaurvadakshaya Vishnu is Swamsha. He expanded into the Kumaras. I don't take that to mean the Kumaras are Swamshas or Vishnu-tattva. Although, okay, we'll have to, you know, if you look at the Sanskrit, if Bhanumaraj has a different version, we can check and see which one's right. But this is the way I have it.
So what category?
They're jivas. They're jivas. You know, the jivas are expansions of Vishnu. You know, the jivas are expanding. In fact, all the jivas are expanding from Gaurvadakshaya Vishnu. That's the way I read it here. We can check the original commentary bulleted in Vibhushan to make sure I got it right. Yes?
What about Bhrigumuni? How he entered Vaikuntha?
Bhrigumuni also entered Vaikuntha. Yeah. Well, it looks like prominent sages are allowed to come in. You know, they get very loud transit visas issued by Narayan himself. He can, you know, there are rules about who can come in, but he can bend the rules. Okay, so he had great respect. We can see how he greeted Bhrigu. He didn't say, "What are you doing here? You know, we're not supposed to let you guys in here." He didn't say that. He welcomed him and apologized for not welcoming him properly. So it looks like by the desire of Narayan, the rules are bent, and sages are sometimes allowed to come in for a moment, for a short time.
When this four Kumaras called Sir Jayavijaya, after that they saw first time Lord or before they saw?
What we just read today is that what they saw before was Brahman, not the impersonal form, in their own hearts. They only saw it in their hearts, and what they saw was impersonal. Before. They weren't devotees until this moment. You know, they suddenly underwent a transformation. They were impersonalists up to that point.
I heard that they had permission any time they can enter Vaikuntha.
Okay, that's news to me. Where'd you hear that?
When Jayavijaya stopped, there is a description.
They had special permission into Vaikuntha. I'd have to hear that story and see what the details are. Why? Who gave it to them? Why? I don't know. Yeah.
So a quick note on the second verse here.
And then maybe they weren't particularly interested in Vaikuntha, but someone gave them a free pass. You know, so I said, okay, let's go see. I don't know the story, but maybe that's it. Yes?
Then what Shiva I've seen used by Vishwanath Chakravarti as a pleasure bowl.
Shiva
Vayu Lola 39.
Okay, well, let me close these extra files. It's confusing me. Yeah, 8 files open right now. Okay, go back to the file we're working on, 21. Now, Shiva Lola Vayu. Well, so it's a wind. In Vaikuntha, the wind is blowing sort of back and forth, you know.
But Shiva,
I think, is just auspicious there.
Okay.
But what did you say then?
Well, I've seen Vishwanath using it as a pleasurable, meaning pleasure.
Because
I thought that you're saying favorable meaning auspicious. I thought that was meant when...
Favorable is pleasurable. Favorable to the person who experiences it. Yeah, you know, okay. It's Prayas and Shreya, so I think favorable in the sense, it's probably a translation anyway, not mine. Favorable just in the sense that it's pleasing.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes?
And this one thing about the four Kumaras.
But the word Shiva doesn't mean sense gratification, it means auspiciousness.
It's
It's quite amazing that I never thought of it because they are mentioned in the first canto, right in the third chapter. They are mentioned as one of the 11 powers.
Yeah, but so is Narada and several other jivas.
Right, so there's...
So those, that list includes Shaktivesh avatars who are not Vishnus.
Right, okay. So it's not that he... So the extension there is... It's like
it's well, they're not necessarily... Just because they're in that list doesn't mean they're jivas, because they're not jivas, because there are other jivas on that list.
Yeah.
Even... Vyasadeva? Well, no, Vyasadeva, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami in Malga Bhagavatam says Vyasadeva is Vishnu. But I think he also says that Buddha is not Vishnu, and he's on the list. Okay, I think we move on. I'm trying to find the place. I got too many files open here. 22. Okay, did we read the whole commentary? Yeah, okay, so we move on to 78.9. Ata tesham bhagavadvitair udipanatvena chitak shodapatvat tat parichadaminam apitadrishatvam aha hamseti saradais tribihi. Next, it is stated how the Lord's paraphernalia, since they agitated the sages' minds as inspiration for their loving affection for the Supreme Lord, are also like that. Also like that means it's they're part of his very self. The paraphernalia, the fans and the weapons and all these other things are also not different from him. This is spoken in the three verses. No, it's 3.5 verses, Saradais Tripi. Beginning Hamsa. Can I fix that? 3.5, Saradais Tripi. Now, let's go back and read those 3.5 verses. What is it? How does it begin? What's the word?
Hamsa is...
Oh, I see, because it starts in the middle of the second verse. That's why it's 3.5 verses. Oh, boy. Okay. Hamsa shriyur vijanayo shiva vayu lola shubha tapatra shashikesha rishikarambum krishna prasada sumukam sprihaniya nama snehava loka kalaya ridisam sprishantam shyane prita vurasisho pitaya shriyashrash Chudamanim sugagayantamivatmadishnyam. Okay, I'll translate that much. He came forward accompanied by his associates bearing all paraphernalia such as an umbrella and a chamara fan. The white bunches of hair moved very gently, like two swans, and due to their favorable breeze, the pearls, garlic, dingley, umbrella also moved, like drops of nectar falling from the white full moon, or ice melting due to a gust of wind. The Lord is the reservoir of all pleasure. His auspicious presence is meant for everyone's benediction, and his affectionate, smiling, and glancing touch the core of the heart. The Lord's beautiful color, bodily color is blackish, and his broad chest is the resting place of the goddess of fortune, who glorifies the entire spiritual world, the summit of all heavenly planets. Thus it appeared that the Lord was personally spreading the beauty and good fortune of the spiritual world. Okay, I won't read the Sanskrit for the next two. English. He was adorned with a girdle that shone brightly out of the yellow cloth covering his large hips. And he wore a garland of fresh flowers which was distinguished by humming bees. His lovely wrists were graced with bracelets, and he rested one of his hands on the shoulder of Garuda, his carrier, and twirled a lotus with another hand. His countenance was distinguished by cheeks that enhanced the beauty of his alligator-shaped pendants, which outshone lightning. His nose was prominent, and his head was covered with a gem-studded crown. A charming necklace hung between his stout arms, and his neck was adorned with a gem known by the name Kaustubha. Okay. We're out of time. But this brings us to the point where we're beginning the discussion of how his paraphernalia, all these items that he's wearing and are following him, they're also not different from him. They belong to his Sarup. Okay, it doesn't make them Vishnu, Tattva, because the associates are also Vishnu, are also belonging to his Sarup, but they're Jivas. So these are must also be Jivas. His weapons and his clothing and everything. Okay, we'll stop now and we'll read what Jiva Goswami has to say about this tomorrow. Tomorrow. Okay. I have to leave after the 9:30 class, but okay. Thank you, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.